But I've asked Rick Barnes and Shane Tiller to come and share with us today, after recently returning from the Kenya Project mission trip that we sent them on in January, and kind of share some stories with you and what God did over there and through them and in them and all this. So now, I don't want to repeat everything that I said back in November about what the Kenya Project was, but I do want to refresh our memories, and for the benefit of those of you who may not have been here on that Sunday. But back in February of this last year, a group of people from our church went on a short-term mission trip to the rural western area of Kenya, Africa. And on that first map up there shows where Kenya is in relationship to Africa. And then the next map shows the area where they were working in that kind of oval-shaded area there. Now, one of the people that they met while they were on this trip was Pastor Boaz, who pastors a church in his community there, which includes a school and a feeding program for children. He also serves as a leader and mentor for a number of other churches in that region. And he has unintentionally found himself involved in a ministry of adopting abandoned children into his own family. And that last count that I heard, he has adopted 40 children into his family that were abandoned. So, as we listened to the stories from those who had returned from the trip in February, we began to pray about how our church could help our brothers and sisters in Kenya. And the thing that the Lord laid on our hearts was to build a bigger house for Pastor Boaz and this ever-growing family of his, of these children. They were living in a little tiny house of about 400 square feet with all of those children. So you can try to imagine 40 kids, 400 square feet. He and his wife were actually sleeping in the kitchen, which was a little tiny room, as their bedroom. So we started working on designing and planning for a building that would house Boaz and his family. Then coincidentally, back in November of this last year, Pastor Boaz was in the United States, and we had the opportunity of having him come here to the church and share with us. And some of you will remember when Pastor Boaz was here. That same day, I presented to the church here the vision that we had for building Pastor Boaz a new house, and we started taking a collection to do that on that day. And you guys in the church gave a total of about $32,000 over the course of the next month to do this project. We had enough money to build the new house, cover the trip expenses of Shane and Rick, and add a few amenities that we were not originally planning to be able to include in the house, such as indoor plumbing. And we still have about $7,000 left in the account to date. Shane and Rick left for Kenya on January 13. They returned from Kenya this last week on Wednesday, February 16, having carried out the mission that we sent them on. And we want to first thank Shane and Rick for taking a month out of their lives to do this project for us. And we also want to thank their families and loved ones who were left behind, because we know that can be a strain on them as well. So thank you guys. Now I'd like to ask Rick to come up. Rick Barnes, you can come on up, Rick. Rick Barnes has been kind of the faceless member of the team at times, but he certainly has played an important role in this project, certainly not the least of which is carrying the heavy end of the load on the technology side of things. Rick is the person who has often been behind the camera taking photographs, and he was the person who maintained and did just an exceptional job on the blog that really kept all of us in the loop about what was going on and made us feel like we were really part of what was going on. So we really appreciate that. Rick has set a new standard for all of us in what our mission blog should be like. But I've asked Rick to come and share a little bit. So, Rick?
It's mine. It's yours, baby. It's 10 minutes. Can y'all hear me? Yare. And you're supposed to say, Ayare Ayinya? Can you do that? No? That's Lou in one lesson. Mama Helen, Boaz's wife, said, I have a thick tongue. So I guess that means my pronunciation might be a little off. So my name's Rick. I'm a missionary. There's going to be meetings for that sometime soon, probably. But yeah, say that because people were calling me a missionary when I was there. And I also got called a man of God. And both those terms just did not, they were hard to digest, so to speak. So, but anyway, I don't know how I can thank you all for sending me to Kenya. You know, it was an absolute honor. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
But yeah, you can hear me, but you just want to make it better, huh? So anyway, thank you very much for sending me. A good friend of mine, Frank Austin, told me there's no way that I could be in Kenya for 5 weeks and not have my life changed. And he was right. He really was. So anyway, we've got some pictures. I got to go through this real quick. If you see this guy raise his hand, that's a signal my time's up. Okay, so we went there to build a house. Okay, this is true confessions. They stuck a hammer in my hand, gave me some gloves. I usually don't use a hammer with gloves, and told me to go over there, and I didn't drive one nail. I didn't pick up one brick. And the reason is, next slide, these guys build differently than we do. This guy's up, he's putting oil on some rafters. If you notice the ladder, it looks like it's home built, and he's barefoot. And I understand that I've worked on rafters before, and I don't like wearing boots, but I've never had the urge to get up there barefoot, but it probably works real well. So after we saw the way they built, we were going to get in the way. We knew it, absolutely. So we let them go and do that, and we ran around Nyanza province and got to build relationships with people. We got to find out what their needs were, and now we've come to a point to where we can pretty much take care of business from here. So Jeff told me to talk about the things that really changed my life, the things that that happened to me. So I don't want you to think I'm a coarse person, but when I got there, I changed my money into 26,000 shillings, and we ran into this lady. This is Mama Cecilia. If you've read the blog, you know who she is. If you haven't, go there. We've got plenty of stories on her. We ran into this lady. Pastor Joseph introduced us to her, and she was dying of typhoid fever. She had malaria. She had worms, and we found her. She was laying in front of her house, and you can see her dress, and she had diarrhea, and she couldn't move very much, so you can only imagine the shape she was in. She had bed bugs, and the doctor said she needed medicine for typhoid fever, and Shane looked at me, and he said, "Welcome to Kenya," and it was 8,000 shillings. It's about $100, and I had heart, you know, I just got there, and I'm looking at the money I had, and actually, I had to think about it. I really did, because I just got there, and if I spent that kind of money every week, I'd be broke. And the truth of the matter is, I was in Kenya, and I'd read about Kenya, the Great Rift Valley, the Serengeti, Mount Kilimanjaro. I did see Lake Victoria, but I thought maybe I'd get to see something while I was there instead of Nyanza province, which is beautiful. So I gave the money to Dr. Joseph, and you can see him here. He's giving her an injection. He had to give her several injections. And next photo, please. We cleaned up her mud hut, and we burned her bedding. We sprayed for insects. Next slide, a photo. Shane and a couple other people, we bought some new bedding for her. We went into town, bought her a new mattress, and you just keep going. I'll be done with this thing. Is somebody pushing me or what? Am I talking too long? Anyway, you can see her. She's got a smile on her face. She's got new bedding. Okay, you can go to the next photo. And this is the way we saw her when we left. She was standing up. She was walking. She was smiling. But I gave that money for the typhoid shots. And the next week we go, and then we found out she had worms. And the whole time I'm wondering, this woman's still going to die. And whether it was a good investment. And there's probably better causes to do, but that's just the way I think. And I know you guys don't think that way, but that was just me. The truth of the matter is, when I was in Kenya, I saw two dead bodies. I went to three funerals or burials, and the electrician on the project died. And not that people are dying left and right, but death around there is, it's not hidden. It isn't. It's obvious. Sometimes people don't go to the hospital. Sometimes they bring their loved ones home after they're dead. And so that was my struggle. It's over with. To be real honest, what happened on the last week I was there, I gladly spent the money to buy all of Dr. Joseph's malaria medicine so I could hand it out to people, because I was pretty tired of hearing people getting very, very sick or dying for lack of $2.50 worth of medicine. So the next one, let's go to see what else. Oh, yes. And so if you're a missionary, if you're a man of God, the big deal is you're coming to preach. I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a pastor, and I told him that, and Boaz wouldn't hear it, and this is his church. It has no roof, it has no windows, it has no doors. They're proud of it. It'll get finished, and there's about 250, 300 people in there, and that's the place they stuck me to do my first teaching, preaching, or sermon. Now, I had a personal struggle with this. I didn't know what to talk about. But I ran into another missionary who helped me with the deal. This was in Miwani. It's another place we went to. And this guy had been in Kenya and a lot of other places. And he said, here's what you do. He said, you tell them what you were like. You tell them what happened. You tell them what you're like now. And he said, you mix some scripture in with it. And I thought, when I heard the guy say that, I said, I could do that. It's pretty darn easy. And so I did it three times. I did it in front of that. Boaz was my translator, which was kind of intimidating to begin with, but whenever you do it, you have to have a translator. Next photo, this is part of the same service. There's Pastor Alex. He's a great man. When you listen to this guy talk, the words flow. I mean, this guy is spirit-filled, and he's a great man. He really is. I wish I could be half the man that guy is. And they're praying for some people right now. Let's go on to the next one. This is the second place I got to preach. This is Pastor Daniels. This is the whole congregation. It's usually bigger than this, but the people, there's a drought going on. Show the next slide. You can kind of see the area it's in. I told them it's not a drought, it's a desert. but they say it's a pretty nice place when there's rain. But some of the people weren't there because there was a drought, and they had to walk miles to get water. But still, I think I did well. I want to tell you one more thing before I go is the most touching moment I had was at a funeral for a little kid. And it was a baby that died from malaria, and you know, everybody's had malaria. I had malaria. You know, malaria is nothing to, it's just like having a cold. And the coffin was about this big. And so we're at a burial for the baby. Did you raise your hand yet? Okay. Don't do it. Don't make me mad. But anyway, Pastor Joseph got up, and here, this is how you tell your own story. He lost a child from malaria because they didn't have 200 shillings, $2.50 to pay for the medicine. One of his daughters died. And so he got up, and with the most impassioned preaching, switching between low and English, this guy told his story to this woman who just lost her child, and it was one of the most emotional things I ever saw. But thanks again for letting me go. I've got a lot of other stories. And just like Silas and Paul, they ended up in prison. The truth of the matter is we could have easily, the way I handle airport security, we could have gotten a lot of other trouble. So Shane said, welcome to Kenya, when it was Mama Cecilia to tell me what it was. I'm sitting in the airport in Seattle, and there's a lady next to me, an American, and she's talking about her cockapoo that has hemophilia, and she just spent $5,000 on the dog. I'm an animal lover, okay? But still, my first thought was, welcome to America.
Thanks, Rick. All right, Shane. Shane Taylor is the person who carried the vision of this project from the very beginning, and I had planned to have Shane get up and share back in November when Pastor Boaz was here. But if you were here, you'll remember Pastor Boaz had a word from the Lord to share with us, and that meant Shane got bumped from the schedule. So sorry, Shane, but so I'm glad that Shane finally gets a chance to share with us about Kenya. So Shane?
Well, good morning. tell you this comes in at the end. First, I want to want to thank the Lord for the opportunity of being able to do anything besides laying around shooting dope, because that's what I did for a living before I met Christ. So to be able to serve Him is a real privilege, and I you know what, I'm extremely proud to be a member of this church. This is a healthy church. This is a church that does stuff, that sees a need and goes out and meets it. A little overview of, I got something ringing up here. Now I know how Jeff feels when that thing's humming back there. You usually throw something at it or just kick it. What we planned on doing, all right, thank you. There we go. It's fine. We, Jeff, can you just put the picture of the house back there just to kind of start this thing off? Because that's what we went there to start. Our main purpose in going there was to represent this fellowship and represent the Lord and see to it that this house that we all were a part of got done on budget and as per plan, and any changes that needed to be made could be made while we were there. But we also wanted to gather information while we were there on other needs that were going on in the area. So we went to different pastors' churches. Every week, me and Rick would be at a different church, and we realized that to accomplish what they wanted us to do, we needed to split up on Sundays. And so I told Rick, I said, we need to go different directions. And that's what we started doing. And well, when we would be with these pastors, we would get a glimpse of what they go through on a daily basis. And we would have a little more intimate time with them to create a relationship and find out what's going on, you know, in their world. And so we gathered information, and it was it could be anything from putting a concrete floor in one of their churches, which is really just almost like a mud hut, to getting a pastor a bicycle, a new roof on a house, you know, pretty minimal things. We went to one church, Pastor Joseph's, and last year when I was there, he needed gutters and a concrete floor and a cho, which is a bathroom, to be able to have a school there during the day. And when we got there, he had the gutters up with the catch basins, these big tanks to catch the rainwater for drinking water and cooking, and he had the floor done, and he had a hole dug, which is a 20-foot hole down there, but no cho. So we thought, let's get it done while we're here. And so we were able to call back home and call a few people and got some funds set over, and we're able to finish that project too, which was a real blessing, and because they used to just use the sugarcane field next door. So the guy that owned the sugarcane field would come in during the middle of the service and start yelling at Joseph because people were out in his sugarcane field. So I had put on the web, on the blog, the only person that could handle that would be Miles, to have somebody come in, Pastor Miles, come in here and start screaming during the middle of the service and be able to maintain his serenity. But so that is kind of what we went there to. That's what we set out to do. God had a bunch of different things daily for us to do. We never knew from one day to the next where exactly what we were going to be doing, but the Lord always had kept us really busy, which was good because the time flew by. So I'm going to introduce you just to one of the pastors there. It's Pastor Jack, and that's Pastor Jack with his head back in the blue shirt. And he's dancing. This is worship time, and he's dancing, and he is the most soft-spoken, gentle, kindest guy I've ever met in my whole life. He was just a sweetheart of a guy, but when it came time to share the word and his relationship with Christ, man, this guy was on fire. You know, I was just like, whoa, this guy's something else, man. But it was real. It wasn't, I say it wasn't a dog and pony show. This is who he is, and this is how he feels about what God's done for him. He walks 3 hours to his church, and he's been the pastor there for 15 years. And from his home, so like this is one of the guys I'd like to get a bicycle, you know. But he does it faithfully, and he just says, this is where God called me, and this is what I do. Rain or shine, he walks there every Sunday, 3 hours there, 3 hours back. And we really loved him. In his home, most of the homes are mud huts. His was probably one of the most thrashed out ones we saw. It had a thatch roof that we could see through, and the walls were falling apart. So, you know, he just grabbed my heart. This guy was just an incredible man of God. And he had 25 kids. He had a little house for the girls. He put them in the nicest home with the metal roof. And when you go into one of these rooms, like what Jeff was talking about, it's just bunk beds side to side. It's as close in as you can tuck them. And it could be anywhere from 3 to 4 kids, top and bottom, is how they do it. So it's just a row of children. And then he had all the boys sleep on the floor in his, and his wife's name was Benta, on the floor. He'd put mats out for them. And he never knew how he was going to provide for them, or he just said, God will take care of it. And, you know, it's how these guys live. It's touching. It touched my heart. So one of the next things we got to do was a church plant. And let's see what we got next here. Oh, no, these are the rules. These are the rules from Pastor Jack's church. These are the only thing on the wall in the whole church. And here's the rules. Everyone should be born again and undergo water baptism. Everyone should be every child should be dedicated. Everyone should be loving to one another. Everyone should be visiting one another. Everyone should be willing to help the needy orphans, children, and widows. Everyone should be attending the weekly fellowship on Saturdays. Everyone should carry out tithing as God's own commandment. And we should have everything in common as believers. And I took a picture of that because I just thought it was neat. And that's it. That's kind of and that's the standard that he lives by. He's a man who walks his talk. So the church plant. This is we went to let me explain how they do a church plant. They kind of look at an area where they don't have a church yet, and they start first. They find someone who can pastor the church. And then they start doing some evangelism outreach in the area. And then they have what they call a crusade. So the place that we went to was called Oneno Nam, Kenya. And it was up in the mountains, probably an hour drive on a pretty rough road. And so for where we were staying, it was an hour and a half to 2 hours to get up there. And the pastors and a lot of their wives and folks from the church will go up there on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and they will just do outreach into the area. And this place was very rural, so there was just here and there a mud hut kind of a thing. And so me and Rick went up on Saturday, and they said, we're going to do door-to-door evangelism. I'm like, okay. So Boaz takes 8 pastors, splits them in groups of 8, 4 of us in each group, and we all pick a direction and we head out walking. And the first house we get to, I'm with Pastor Alex, and we go in there and we sit down, and he starts talking with this lady about, he wants to get information on what kind of faith she has, because there's a different faith up there, and he wants information on what's going on in her life and what kind of problems is she having so that we can pray for her. And so he tells me, because they're speaking in their native tongue and I don't understand it, he says her main problem is she believes in Christ, but her kids won't come home because they think that this area is occultic, that there's been a lot of demonic stuff going on in this area, and so the boys won't come home, and so she's alone. And I'm like, wow, that's trippy. It's not one I'm used to hearing. And Alex says something to her, and then he looks at me and he goes, Shane has a word from the Lord for you. And I'm all, what the heck, man? That's not... It's 911 prayer time, because I haven't done the demonic kids won't come home prayer in a long time. I'm sorry. It's not part of my repertoire of, I'm like going, okay, but that's kind of how God stretched us, just like how he stretched Rick and said, oh, you're teaching, you're going to do the preaching, son. He's like, what? And this is where you really get to depend on your relationship with God. And that's what happened at every house we went to. After three houses, I just figured he's going to find out what's going on. He's going to hand me the ball, and it's my turn to run with it. So that's kind of how that went. These are some young girls that were all dressed up in their Sunday best for the Sunday service. So after we do the evangelism and outreach, everybody gets invited. And then on Sunday, they have a big hoedown kind of church service. And so all the little girls have on their best things. This is Pastor Boaz and Pastor Lawrence, who was the new pastor that was introduced to the church that day. And he's the one that's going to be taking care of the church. He's doing a chicken. They give chickens to each other as a sign of appreciation. So, like, you go to someone's house and they give you a chicken to take home. Well, he's given, Lawrence is the guy in the white shirt, and Boaz is the taller guy, and Pastor Lawrence is handing him a rooster and a hen. It's a way of saying thank you. And then they did a baby dedication, and this is just the church. This is where they're holding church for right now, under the tree in Onano Nam. And Pastor Lawrence and his wife did a baby dedication, and that was really a good time. So when it was all done, all the pastors are there, and they said, oh, we forgot to name the church. Also, the man that owns the property dedicated a plot of land. He said, here, this is for the church. You guys can have this. And probably like a half acre of property or something. And they said, the name of this church is going to be, because of our appreciation, it's going to be Touchstone Christian Fellowship in Onano Nam, Kenya. And I was overwhelmed. They said, is that okay with you, Shane? And I thought, well, I hope it's okay with Jeff, because I'm saying yes. And, I was honored. I thought, wow. They go, we'll take care of it like a little child for you. They said, we know it's a baby, and we'll look after it real good for you. And so it's part of their fellowship and under their covering, but they'll make sure that everything goes as planned. Oh, I had this story down here. I'm looking at the clock. One of the things that I saw when I first got there, and then we'll go into talking about the house, was we could call them awkward moments. The first time I went there, I saw two guys holding hands walking down the street. And I'm a little old-fashioned. I just went, oh, geez. And I thought, what the heck, man? Can't I go anywhere? And so I asked one of the guys, I said, hey, what's up with this? And he said, this is... it's a sign of true friendship that he said. So once I'd been there for a while, it was real common to see two guys holding hands, and it just meant they were really respected each other, and their friendship was really close. And one day at the hotel, the guy who ran the restaurant, we were having a soda, and he goes, hey, let me take you over. I'm going to show you the kitchen and everything. I said, all right. And he grabs my hand, and at first I was just like this, And then I thought, wow, I feel really honored, man, that somehow in this relationship, I've crossed that line where I'm more than just someone staying at the hotel. He considers me a real friend. And then I relaxed and felt, I felt honored, man. I was flattered that this guy felt that way. So it was new for me. I've never held hands with a man. But if you go to Kenya, you just might. Welcome to Kenya. That's kind of how that goes. I was telling last night, we're not your average missionaries. I don't know what we are. I'm just a big clunker for Christ is what I am. But last year I had what was called a gas station ministry, and I'd go out front of where we were staying and just share with Christ with these guys every morning. Well, this year there was a group of guys in front of the gas station. They were like a little rougher looking. They were younger, in their 20s, and there'd be about 25 of them. And they would always yell out, Mzungu, when I would drive by in the car with Pastor Joseph. And so I got out, and I would talk to them. They'd ask me what I'm doing there. So finally, they would start going, "Hey, Mzungu." I would jump out of the car and go, "Come on, man, I'm going to show you how the Mzungus do it in America." And so like the first time, one guy walks up, and all his friends are looking, and I drop the keys, and when he looks down, I'm all, boom! And they, it's an old trick from the streets. You guys, some guys recognize it, but, and then I would share Christ with them, and we'd talk about, so every morning in Joseph's car, as soon as we got out to the main road, you'd start hearing my song, go! And I'd be hanging out the window trying to get at him, tell him, stop the car, and I'd jump out. And it was on every, this was the ritual every morning. And then we would hug. And so I don't know if any other guys were doing that over there. I don't remember seeing it, but it's just kind of how we roll. So to the home, the main thing that we went there to do was to build this home. And you heard Jeff's story about the house, and you know, it's true. We went into the kitchen, and there was a little curtain up, and behind it was just a bed, and that's Boaz and Helen's. That's their room. That's where they stay. And then the kids are in the separate rooms on bunks and in the little sitting room on the floor. So we had dinner. The house isn't quite complete, but you can kind of get an idea of the stage it's at. It needs to be painted. The outside needed to be plastered. And it should be done by the end of this coming week. It'll be finished and they'll be moved in. So we never really got to see all the kids. We knew some of the older kids, but most of them were in school during the day. So that night they cooked a feast for us. And as they started piling in the house, you know, I'm like, wow, man. And they just kept coming and coming and coming. And I'm like, wow, this is a trip. And I remember sitting there looking at these children, and I was thinking what this must be like for them to have this home, you know, to be moving into a home. This is a mansion for folks like this. This is an absolute 10,000 square foot mansion, even though that's not what it is. But to them it is. It's got toilets that you sit on. Those aren't in the homes there. It's got showers in the girls' room and the boys' room. Boaz has his own room now. And next to it, a little study / guest room for someone to stay in. And him and Mama Helen, all the women are called Mama. So if I say that, you just kind of start getting used to calling. And they call me Baba, which means Papa, the girls would, and some of the boys. They got their own bathroom, 3 bathrooms with showers. And we didn't know we were getting toilets and a septic. We thought they were going to be using the outdoor pit toilets. And then we find stuff out as we're going along. There is some communication problems that kind of go on there. But it was absolutely wonderful. So I'm looking at these kids, and most of these kids' parents have died from AIDS. Just, that's the main cause of people being abandoned there. And in this home, Boaz and Helen are Mama and Papa to the kids. This is not an orphanage. This is not where there's someone that oversees it. That's what touched our hearts so much when we were there. Anybody can build a building and stick a bunch of kids in there and pay someone to make sure they get fed. These kids get fed spiritually, physically, and emotionally. They're taken care of. You never know which kids were his biological or not. And that night we had met 2 of the kids, Joanne, his oldest daughter, and Boaz Jr., his youngest son. And then that night he had the other 3 children stand up so we could find out who they were. And we were introduced to his other 3 biological children. But you can't even really see the whole room here, but this was dinner at the Omuga family in the new house. And you know, we were privileged to be a part of that, and really grateful that we got to participate with all of you, you know, because this was not me and Rick's thing. It was Christ's thing, and Christ decided to use Touchstone Fellowship for whatever reason. God said, who can I take over there that will help my folks over here, because they got some needs that need to be met? And he touched our hearts and used us. And I think about we are the body of Christ. I was looking in 1 Corinthians, and we all have different parts to play. We're not all hands, and we're not all eyes, and we're not all feet. But we all played a part in seeing to this that this project was done. Pastor Boaz had a message for our church, and he sent this home. This thing's made out of a rosewood. And he said the reason that I want the church to have this, first of all the pastors send their love and greetings. And he said the giraffe of all the animals in the jungle is the one that can see the best because of its height, and it has a really good vision. And it can see above the treetops. And he said the brothers and sisters at Touchstone Christian Fellowship were able to see over the treetops and see us in Kenya and do what God asked them to and come here and serve. So this is that's what this means. So thank you guys. We appreciate, hope we represented you well over there. That was a real risk sending us there. I think it really backfired on you guys. But it didn't, and Laura, it's all because of God, because I can make a mess of anything. Thank you.